Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, Josh, for leading us in that song. I have the privilege of actually knowing all the songs in advance. And so this has been my anthem song this week. So my 6 and 9-year-old, who I drive to school every day, are going to be glad that this week's over because we played it over and over again. But you sometimes get those songs, right, that it's like, that's a song that I need for this season, this day, this moment in my life. And so I'm so glad that that the team chose this song today. My name's Ronnie. If I have not met you, I'm one of the staff pastors. I'm not a regular teaching pastor on stage, but I do get the benefit of being invited to Pastor Steve and Pastor Shane's planning meetings as they plan out the message series months and so forth in advance. And so one of the series that they were talking about several months ago was Knowing the Will of God series. And I said, man, I want 1 weekend of that because I think this is so crucial to so many conversations that I have with so many of you on a regular basis, because this is a great big question that most of us at some point in our life are struggling, walking, questioning, trying to figure this whole thing out of what is God's will for my life? And how do I know that I'm walking in God's will? And so Pastor Steve kicked it off 2 weeks ago. And if you missed that, it greatly set up this whole series of where we're going for the next few weeks. Pastor Shane last week talked about living to the glory of God and how it all is based from your will of God, and living that out is all based on the relationship that you have with God, and how it's out of that that flows knowing the will of God. So as we navigate through this by faith, we come to a very practical message today, and that is the decision making and knowing the will of God, that we have to make the decision. So what I want to talk with you about today, if you want to pull out your message notes, is crossing the great decide. There comes a point when we have, and a great, great imagery for any of those of you who are familiar with your Bible, as we talk about crossing, immediately I think of either Elijah, who, as they crossed over the Jordan. I think about Moses of leading God's people as they had to cross through the Red Sea. And you have to make that decision when you're on dry ground that you are actually going to cross. That's a big decision that we got to make. And many of us, as that's a great picture, have to make those types of decisions in life. And some of the times we get to the shore, we get to that spot in which we have to make the decision, and we get fearful and we get paralyzed in our situation as a life, and so we just freeze. We don't know what to do. And we're seeking and we're searching. We're like, I don't know if this is, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. And so, in other words, today I want to talk to you about the fact that you're going to have to be willing to make decisions. And being paralyzed and not doing anything isn't going to work. That's not what God has planned for you. Now, we are as adults, and sometimes it's so nice to have the freedom of being adults that we can make our own choices. And then there are other times when we get those liberties and those freedoms that we wish somebody would just make the decision for us, right? You know, my 6-year-old, he gets to make very few decisions in life. If he was making the decisions, you know, we would have candy or his new things, taquitos, every single meal, that there would be no bedtime, that he wouldn't have to go to school because it's boring and a waste of time anyways. And so life would be very much different if he made all the decisions. And so for that reason, as parents, we don't allow our 6-year-olds to make all the decisions. Now, my 9-year-old gets more freedom. He gets to make more decisions. As he's grown and matured, he's able to make more decisions. We give him more freedom based on what he can handle and what he understands and what he's experienced. Because now I've been doing it. It's time as a 9-year-old that you get to start making your own choices, because with choices comes consequences or comes rewards. And so you get away some of those things out. Obviously not the big ones. But fast forward to my 17-year-old. She knows it all anyways, but I still have some sort of guiding principle, as she's still under my roof, as she's still under 18, as she's still in high school, that she has a lot more freedom to make decisions, way more than the 9-year-old, a lot more than the 6-year-old, but she's not at mom and my stage yet, where she's calling all of her own shots, right? There's still some rules that we got to follow, and some things that we know that she thinks that she knows, but we all know she really doesn't know. Now I have a 19, almost 20-year-old. And again, more decisions. Dude, life's on you now. As you're an adult, you know, we still have rules. They're still guiding. But there's no longer the you can't do this conversation, right? Because you're an adult. You have to make your own decisions. And hopefully based on how your mom and I raised you and how we guided and shaped you and we helped you through that process, you've matured. You've seen the wisdom. Are you going to make all the right choices? No, because you don't make all the right choices. I don't make all the right choices. But there's a greater understanding that now's the time as a mom and a dad that I got to step back and I got to say, it's time for you to fly, baby bird, or fall. Because we have to live by that. Now, for many of us as adults sitting in here, we've had to live with that. And sometimes we've flown and sometimes we've fallen. And because we've fallen and because falling hurts, oftentimes it keeps us from wanting to make decisions in life. And yet this is how it's supposed to be. You know, God gave Moses the vision, the dream to lead his people out of 400 years of slavery. But it took Moses having the courage to make the decision to go and stand in front of the most powerful man on the planet, Pharaoh, and say, you need to release my people. It was Noah's dream that God gave him that he was going to save humanity and mankind through his family after the flood was going to come. And so as he put that dream and Noah had to go be the one that make the decision to go to the lumber store, to buy the wood, to build a big boat. Some of you guys will get the joke in that later. To build something that had never been built, to the size that had never been built, to do something that was so inconceivable. It was a decision-making process that he had to go, is that a dream or was that bad taquitos that I ate? Abraham. God gave him a vision, a dream of building a new nation, but it was Abraham that had to make the decision to leave everything that was familiar, everything that was comfortable, everything that he knew. He had to pack up and head to the unknown for what God had for him. Just like these men, you and I will never realize God's dream for our life until we come to the stage of decision-making and take the step of faith, of making the decision. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Notice that if you have wisdom, that you see it. You see the wisdom in oftentimes good decisions and bad decisions that help shape and mold us, right? We've all made bad decisions. There was brand new, newlywed. I grew up in Southern California, this little town called Ojai, which is just inland from Ventura. It's a nice area to live. And met my wife there. We get married. We're living actually in Ventura. And I get a job promotion opportunity. Hey, we're going to give you a promotion. We want to do this. We see that you have a future in this company. Here's what you're going to, but you're going to have to move down to Torrance, California, you know, down the 405 past LAX, you know. And so you would think wisdom would be that I would want to pray about it, that I'd want to consult my bride about it. And we would get some wisdom maybe from our parents or my pastor or something. Nope. I said, when do I start? How do you think that conversation went when I got home? We live by our decisions. And so for the next 9 months, I commuted because my wife said, go ahead, have fun. I'm not moving there. But what that did is that brought wisdom to my life through a lot of painful, lonely drives down the 405 and 101 that I learned a lot of stuff. About me, about my selfishness, about what it meant to be a husband and to do life as a team, about chasing the dollar or the title, all kinds of things through life and lessons we are going to learn as we walk by faith. Even when we make bad decisions, God can still use that and still can teach us and grow us through that. There's four different types, because we're pressed for decisions all the time. Decisions, right? Always a decision. You know, I did some research, and some researchers say that we make up to 35,000 decisions every single day, either consciously or subconsciously. In fact, there was one study that said that you make 200 decisions based on food alone every single day. And my wife wonders why I say, I don't care what we eat or where we go, just pick it, right? Because it's always, there's always decisions to be made. And so there's four categories that I want us to look at as we look at different types of decisions. Here's the first one is ordinary decisions. You're going to make thousands of ordinary decisions. These are no-risk choices. Am I going to eat oatmeal or Cheerios for breakfast? Think of the hundreds of decisions that you've made since your eyes opened this morning. That you were going to get out of bed, what you were going to do, are you going to have one cup of coffee, two cup of coffees, what you're going to dress, what you're going to eat for breakfast, am I going to brush my teeth and comb my hair today, is this okay to wear to church? I mean, we make decisions. Am I going to come to the 9:30 service? No risk decisions, right? You make hundreds and thousands of them every single day. Then you have the big ones, and these are the destiny decisions. These are the high risk choices that we make. Who should I marry? Where's my career? What's my education? These are the biggies. These are the ones that we spend so much time stressing out about. We worry about making the wrong ones. And I think if God has a message for us today, it would be this. Just relax. Just relax. As you walk with me, just relax. Because part of the way that I'm going to grow you is by allowing you and you being able to make the decisions that are you're faced with in your life. And let's be honest, some of our biggest growth comes from what? Our biggest mistakes that we've made. Here's another one. These are the moral decisions. The moral decisions. These are right and wrong. Should I fudge on my expense report? Should I move in with my fiance because we're planning on getting married? These are the ones that God has given a great clarity on in Scripture of what we should and what we shouldn't do. Now, sometimes people wonder why God has so much to say about these types of decisions, these moral decisions. And I think it's because your moral decisions affect who you are and who you're becoming. And God cares about who you are, and God cares about who you're becoming. God is more concerned that you are like him in character than what you're going to eat for breakfast, or what job you're going to do, or what school you're going to enroll in. He cares more about your character and more about who you say that you are as a Christian of living out those Christ-like characteristics. So that's why you can read about them, and they're so clear in Scripture. And here's the last one. Priority decisions. Now, these really are the difference between good and better choices. There's no right or wrong. It's not a moral decision. You're faced with two opportunities, and both of them, are good decisions. But it's you looking at and navigating, is this a good decision or is there a better decision that I could make? I have a free Monday night. And so there's a Bible study that's happening, or maybe it's a chance for me to better myself and enroll in an online class. Now, both of them are great, good decisions. There's nothing wrong with either one. But looking at where you're at and where you're wanting to go and what your goals and objectives are on that free night, what's the good decision, and is there a better one? And so those are the times in which, you got to really look at the future, look at the bigger picture to see what is it that would be best for you. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Now, wisdom is such a big thing, and you're going to see that in your first thing, is that God, ask God for needed wisdom. Go back up and write on there. I know I read the verse first. Because it really is, as we talk about good and better decisions, as we talk about moral decisions, as we talk about, all these different areas that we have, that it really comes down to wisdom. The first verse that we read talked about wisdom. And here's the deal. You want wisdom? Wisdom comes from asking God, seeking scriptures. What does his word say? Spending time with him in prayer. And what he has to say to you. Dallas Willard said that among our loneliest moments, no doubt is a time of decision making in life. And as the stakes go up, the pressure goes up, and the lonelier that you feel. And so we have something called a Heavenly Father who cares about everything in your life, every minute little detail. And so when you have these decision-making times and when you have these pressures in life, that maybe this worry and anxiety of what you should do, should I go left, should I go right, how many times do we stop and do we actually consult with the God of the universe and spend time in prayer, spend time reading his word to say, okay, speak to me through your word, speak to me, tell me how is it that I'm struggling with this, and give me wisdom in that. Wisdom literally is gaining a better perspective on your situation. It's just gaining a better perspective. Here's the second one, and that's that you consider the right issues. As you're facing a decision-making process, you gotta look at the bigger picture. Look at the full picture of am I looking at all of the issues that are in front of me? It's paying attention to the basis of the big decision. What are those guiding factors in my decision-making process? Which brings greater glory to God? What is morally pleasing to him? How will this decision affect others in my life? James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Great, great things that we read through here as we talk about where wisdom comes from. So as you're facing life's decisions in life, on the inside of your message notes, is like literally a tear out. This is something that Pastor Steve put together several years ago, 8 tests of a wise idea. And so as you're facing these big decisions, you can see through this scripture specific things that will help in molding and shaping your thoughts and your feelings for the basis of the decision that you're going to make. Is it pure? Does it honor God? There's no right way to do a wrong thing, so that's really where you should start. Could God get behind this idea? You think God's in favor of it? Is it peace-loving? Now, we make decisions that are hurtful to people, right? We make decisions that people don't agree with. And so I'm not talking about that, but is it peace-loving, meaning will it do harm to someone? Is it going to destroy someone by the decision that I make and harm them? Is the decision considerate? Is it fair? We want to win-win as much as possible. Submissive, is it open to improvement? Do we think we got it all figured out and we don't need to have humility and do due diligence and be able to offer, you know, will it stand up under scrutiny from others? Mercy, does it meet a need or a hurt in someone's life? Good fruit, does it display the Christ-likeness that I say that I walk with? Now, literally, in the Greek of this word in the NIV version that I read, impartial, is better translated through the New American Standard version of saying, is unwavering is the word. Am I convinced of it? Is it not that I'm flip-flopping? Am I secure? Am I confident, unwavering? And then sincere, is there any deception or hidden agenda that maybe that I have in my heart as I'm making my decision? Now let's be honest, not every decision is going to fit in one of these 8 areas of the test. But one or more of these will touch every major decision that you got to make in life. At least one, if not multitude, of the big decisions in life, you can pull out and scrutinize and look at this verse alone and allow God to speak into that situation before you make that decision. And so I got to look at the right issues and look at all that's involved. Here's a third one. Invite trustworthy input. Invite input from other people. Sometimes we're just in check. And we need to get the advice of someone maybe who's been there before, maybe somebody who's walked down that path and made that decision, or you've seen that and you want to say, hey, what were the stumbling blocks? What were the issues that you were facing with? Talk to somebody who's made, you know, similar situation, experiences, decisions. Maybe talk to somebody who knows you really well that sees your weaknesses and your blind spots. So fast forward from the mid-90s to 2000, when I began to feel a desire, I've been praying about and talking with some people about moving to this town of Fresno, California. Now, mind you, I already told you I lived in Ventura, Ojai, you know. And for any of those that don't think that's a big decision, a big change, has never left Fresno to know that there are beautiful places and beaches and great weather. So who do you think was the first person I talked to? My wife. She already knows my shortcomings, my weaknesses, the fact that I leap and then look. She knows that I get excited about things and can run without even counting the cost and so forth. Yeah, it was my wife. And then consulting multiple people, and you need to have those people that kind of can put you in check. Like, whoa, boy, settle down. You're so excited, but have you thought of X, Y, and Z? What are we going to do for money? Where are we going to live? What, you know, I don't know. We're just going to go. Okay, well, let's spend some time thinking about those things. And so as you have to make a major decision in life, it's so important that God has placed incredible people all around you. He really has. People with a wealth of knowledge. And the people that can speak the truest to your life are the people that know you the best. And sometimes we don't ask because we already know the answer and we don't want to hear. And so we just want to do what we want to do. And let me just tell you, how many times have you done that and it's backfired and got you in trouble? All right? I mean, countless times. Every single time that I've just decided that I'm going to leap without looking, it was always a big drop. When maybe if I just had consulted and allowed people to speak into my life. Proverbs 12:15 says, a fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. Again in Proverbs, you see in 1:5, a wise person will listen and continue to learn, and an understanding person will gain direction. Who are those people in your life that you can turn to in the decision-making time of your life? Here's the fourth one. Accept your responsibility to decide. This is where God shapes us and molds us. This is where, just as weight training develops strength and flexibility, decision-making for us develops perspective, it develops courage, it develops insight, it develops direction for our life. And the cool thing about it is that we get to make the choice. This is what I love about the God that I serve. This is what I love about coming here this morning freely, able to worship the Almighty God. Here's what's so cool about that. He's not the puppeteer and I'm not the puppet. That's not how he designed life to work. He allows you and he allows me the ability to make our own decisions and our own choices in life. He gives guidance, he gives wisdom, he gives his unconditional love, his grace, his mercy. But it's you and I who get to choose the choices that we make. And so we need to accept that responsibility to decide. Now, we can talk about knowing the will of God, and we can be interested in how I know the will of God and how it impacts my life. Let me just dial it all the way back to square one. You want to know the will of God for your life? The will of God is there's one decision that's the foundational block of you walking with Jesus and knowing the will of God for the rest of your life, and that's first and foremost that you got to make the decision to accept Jesus into your life, to invite him in to be your Lord and Savior. The decision to follow him completely. Romans 14, and I'm going to read 5, 10, and 12, says, we should each firmly make up our own minds. All of us will stand before God to be judged by him. Every one of us, then, will have to give an account to God. You want to know where the will of God, what the will of God is? It starts with knowing who God is and having a relationship with him. That is the most important decision you will ever make in life. I was on vacation a few weeks ago, and a friend of mine played this song, and it was like, it took me back to my childhood, of growing up in church. And it really, as I was thinking about this message and thinking about today, it's like, of all the decisions that we get to make, of all the decisions that I've made, of everything I've done, it was the fact that one decision to follow Christ, because Jesus paid it all. And as I heard this song, I said, I called Todd and I go, hey, I hear your daughter singing this song, so you have to make sure that she's on this weekend to sing this song. So I want you to listen to these powerful words as Emily sings, Jesus Paid It All. Write this fifth one down. Trust the final outcome to God. As you put your faith in him, you begin to walk with him, you begin to trust him. And so as we come to the decision-making times in our life, when we're faced with, do I go left or do I go right, using these principles, but more importantly, it's because of my faith and my walk with Jesus on a daily basis that it says it doesn't matter if I go left or I go right, because either way, I'm going with Jesus. And so I know that God is going to be working within me whether I turn left or I turn right. Whether I stay in Fresno or whether I move to Timbuktu, whether I have this current job or whether there's an opportunity and God wants to take me somewhere else to do something else. Because it's all about the trust of walking with God on a daily basis that gives me the confidence that I'm in the will of God. Because he's pouring into me as I'm searching scripture, as I'm practicing these five things that we talked about, as I'm asking him for wisdom, and I'm diving into his word, as I'm considering the big picture and all the areas and the choices, and using that verse in James that lists out those eight different things that I can test against, as I invite trustworthy people that I know love me and care about me to give me their input, their advice, their direction. As I accept the responsibility that as a child of God, I have the freedom to make my own choices, my own decisions. Because of my walk, I can put my trust knowing he's sovereign over it all. That's how we make decisions and how we walk in confidence. See, it's more about the decision and the relationship than the choice and the destination. So that's why the number one decision that you need to make if you want to be in the will of God as you face decision is your decision to follow Christ. And so maybe today, as Todd shared, it's your first time. Doesn't mean your problems aren't going to go away. Doesn't mean the decisions that you're going to have to make from now or in the future aren't going to be tough ones that you're going to have to wrestle with. But it's going to be different. I don't understand. I really have a hard time comprehending as I talk to people who are down on their luck and are facing life's tragedies and just horrible circumstances. I don't know how you do it without God. Because as I grieve, as I hurt for them, as I feel for them, it's like the one thing that I know that I have that would help me and get me through what I think are just some huge things in life is the fact that I know that God loves me unconditionally. That I know that as I fall flat on my face, that God's going to pick me up and wrap his arms around me, that I can experience his love, his grace, his peace, his mercy. That as I feel hopeless about situations, I know that God is God of hope, a God of my future, a God that didn't accidentally made me, but made me on purpose and has a design for my life and a plan, and he shaped and he's molded me to live in that. So maybe today, for the very first time, I want to encourage you, as Shane talked about the connection card at the top of the service, let us know if today's the day that you've made the decision, because as pastors, we want to be covering you in prayer. We want to help you on that journey, because guess what? All your problems aren't going to go away. The decisions aren't going to make themselves. You're still going to have to wrestle, but you are going to be able to look at it from a different perspective. And maybe for some of us today, we've made that decision years ago, but we have really not been walking with Jesus. And so today we need to renew that commitment to follow him, to put our trust in him. So today, I just, my biggest prayer as you walk out of here, is you walk out of here going, man, I know that I'm in the will of God because I am following Jesus and I've surrendered my life and I'm walking with him. And so I know how, no matter how big that mountain is, I know I'm going to get to the top. Bow with me in prayer. Father God, I thank you that your word does not return void. And so I believe that it spoke very powerfully to every single one of us this morning. God, you know the issues that we're facing. You know the indecisiveness and the fear and the worry and anxiety that comes with making life choices. God, you know the regrets and the shame and embarrassment that each of us face from making wrong choices. God, I thank you that you're bigger than all that. So God, I just ask, as we just seek you, just speak into our lives, into our hearts, what you want to speak and what you want to share of what you want to say about us and to us. God, give us the confidence to trust you, to put our faith in you on a daily basis. We love you, we praise you, and everybody said, amen.